The book of Deuteronomy here on Sunday mornings. And we're here at chapter 16. And we're going to be looking at verse 4, but we'll go ahead and just read verse 1. Get the whole context of it. Deuteronomy 16, verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd and the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. Now verse 4. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest at the first day at even remain all night until the morning. Father, thank you for your word. Please, Lord, teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning. Give us what we need. Lord, speak to our hearts. You know where each one of us individually is at. Lord, show us where we're at. Show us where we need to be. Deal with our hearts, Lord, and according to the individual needs that are there. And Father, I ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. All right. You know, the children of Israel are just about a month or so out from going into the land of promise. And so in Deuteronomy, Moses is going back over. He's reiterating the things that the law has been given to them. He's reminding them of these things. Joshua's going to take them in. Moses is going to get them right to Jordan. He can't go over. He can't go. He's not going to be able to bring them in. He's going to take, and he's got them so far, he's going to be buried on the other side. Joshua's going to take them over. And he's going back over the different things that God has given to the children of Israel concerning the law, concerning the feasts. And here in Deuteronomy 16, he's reminding them of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And by the way, Lord willing, you know, every other year we try to do a Passover Seder with, you know, see, looking at Christ and the Passover. And this is that every other year. So Lord willing, just go ahead and get your mindset ready for it. We'll be doing that again this year. We'll be doing the Passover Seder, Christ and the Passover, and having all that around April this year, I think is when Passover is going to be. But notice in verse 4, the Bible says this, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. All right, that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Passover took place on the 14th of the month at even. All right, the Passover was sacrificed, and then after that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 7 days, no leavened bread was to be seen with them, no leaven at all. All right, and we know in the Bible, leaven is a picture of sin. It's a picture of bad doctrine. It's a picture of malice and hypocrisy. It pictures something bad, something not good. It's a picture of sin. All right, the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, he was unleavened. You know, that matzah is a perfect and wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's unleavened. It's holes in it like it's been pierced. Looks like it's been bruised. Christ, born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, he's the bread of life. And it pictures him, that unleavened, all right? But there was to be no leaven seen with them for the 7 days. See, look what it says. It says, there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Now take your Bible, go to Exodus 12 real quick. Exodus 12. Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus 12, look at verse 15. Exodus 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. All right, go to Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. All right. I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice something. In these passages that we've looked at concerning the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the 7 days that there was no leaven to be seen. All right. Notice that it mentions, okay, it mentions, go back just real quick, again, to Exodus 12. Because I want you to notice, Exodus 12, verse 15.
7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread for the first day of the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Again, chapter 13, we said, the Bible says, there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee. And it says, in thy quarters. Now listen. Notice that in these three passages, we see you, the person, your house, your coast, and your quarters. And I want to take just a little bit tonight, this morning, and I want to think about those, each of those areas where leaven was not to be seen. And you know, again, leaven is a picture of sin. No leaven was to be seen with you, on your person. No leaven. Take your Bible, go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Luke 12. Listen, if you have come out by the blood of the Lamb, if you've been redeemed, listen, the Bible speaks of keeping the feast, not with the unleavened bread of malice and wickedness, but sincerity and truth. If you have come out by the blood of the Lamb, you're a child of God. Listen, we need to take, if you will, and keep that feast as it were. We need to live our life without leaven in it. The leaven needs to be purged out. And that means a detailed and intense search needs to be made. You know, when we do that Passover Seder, you know, that we take and go around, the Jews would take a candle, you know, and a feather, all right, and that spoon, and make the search, right, for leaven. Like the search for leaven. And it shows how that search was to be done intensely. It was to be done for just looking for the most minute piece of leaven. An intense and thorough search should be made. Brethren, you and I need to make such a search in our lives for any kind of leaven. Not just anything externally, but anything internally. Because listen, if there's anything internally, any leaven there, that's not taken care of, it's not going to be long before it comes out. Catch that thing as quick as you can. Brethren, things are always easier to be dealt with the sooner, the quicker, and at the lowest level that you take care of them at. Amen. You know, a little leaven of the whole lump. Now, and you ladies know that. It doesn't take much. I told you last week, we kind of delved on this a little bit last week, but once again, where we're at and going through Deuteronomy 16, it brings it up to us again. Listen, a little leaveneth the whole lump. A little. All it takes is a little bit of something in your life. And pretty soon that thing's going to leaven your marriage. It's going to leaven your home. It's going to leaven your church. That thing's just going to spread. That's just the way it is. A little leaven. You know, it takes something. Look, you'll take something. I mentioned last week, one of your young'uns getting crossways. When a young'un's getting something and you take an attitude, I can't believe those people would treat, they're not treating my child right. The people of the church, they're not treating my child the way he ought to be treated. You know what? That little thing there. That little burr that your child's got under their saddle. They come home with an attitude of like, everybody was mean to me. Woo. Folks, look here. Now, I was just raised up that you didn't go around to mom and daddy hanging your head and talking about who was mean to me and who wasn't. You just dealt with it. You just dealt with it and made the best you can of it. And that's just the way it's going to be. And because what was my mom and dad supposed to do? Come to my rescue? What? That'd been worse, hon. That'd been a fate worse than death. To have your mama and your daddy come in and say, y'all don't treat Jonathan that way. Don't you do him that way. Forget it. I'm done. Yeah. I'm going to stick my thumb out. Yeah. I don't care if I am 7 years old. I'm sticking my thumb out, man. I'm gone. Just got to get out of here. Can you imagine what that would have been like? That would have been horrible. I had this little boy. He wasn't little. And he had it, man, that boy. He had it in his crawl, right? That when church was over, his whole function in life was to take and jump on me. That's what he lived for. Now the problem was, now look, I'm 5'6". I was a short fella back in, all right? And he just loved it. And he would sound like Baby Huey come down, oh, ho, 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 just, you know. Well, the problem was, man, my mom and daddy, listen, the clothes I come to church in, I wasn't supposed to get them dirty. My mom and dad didn't have a lot of money. And they put you in clothes on Saturday. You weren't supposed to get, you know, you go home and change and play. Well, it didn't matter, man. And I'd get in trouble, right? And it's like, oh, man, here he comes. And I wasn't going to say, what was I going to do? Well, he's picking on me. No, sir, I had to deal with that thing. I had to deal with that thing. I fixed him. That old big boy come running down that hill one time. I'll never forget it. Man, I went down on all fours and that boy went flying. Woo! Seriously, you could about hear him through the air. Ah! Oh, yeah. Lo and behold, he must have thought that thing through. I bet he spent all week, man, thinking that thing through. And here it come at the end of service one time. I was heading out the car and here he comes, right? Well, I went down on all fours, and you know what? I heard him. His knee caught me right the side of the head. Man, my ear went numb. So what'd you do? I rubbed my ear and went on and got a car. I went, oh, what do you mean? What? And then this too do. That's just the way it is, all right? And later on, become real good friends. But listen, he was interesting. He's dead now. He was an interesting fella. Listen. Mom, Dad, I mentioned it last week, but I'll tell you again. The devil will just look for something to go on with your youngins and use that to, listen, to put some leaven in and then start leavening your church. You understand? You've got to stay on top of that. If your youngin goes through something, all right, if it's bad enough, you talk to him. You talk to him. But unless it's something really, really big, you need to tell them. So look, honey, son, daughter, whatever, you just got to deal with this thing. You got to deal with it. What can you do to help make it better? What can you do? If you looked at yourself, are you helping to cause it? Or what can you do to make it better? Look, maybe the person, maybe the person's got an attitude towards you. Have you done something to cause it? Maybe they're jealous of you. Maybe they're envious. Who knows? I mean, find out what it is and tell them they're going to have to deal with that. Because you know what you got to deal with stuff in life? It's where it's always going to be. There's always going to be something to have to deal with. And the better, and the sooner you can get them to do that and realize to where they can't come to you about things and you can't come to the rescue about things all the time, the better things are going to be. And I'm telling you right now. And I want to tell you something, Mom, Dad. You need to talk to them because a lot of times what it is a young'un is going through something, all right? And they're trying to get some attention because even bad attention is at least attention. Huh? I had a relative that was like that. You used to scratch your head and wonder, why in the world does that boy do what he does? Why in the world? Well, I found out why he did what he did. Man, his home life, I mean, it stunk. It was bad. It was real bad. That boy was hurting. And he was just looking for some kind of good attention, some kind of way. And shoot, even bad attention is attention. What I'm telling you is, look here, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. And you explain that to your youngins. Help them. Help them understand it. Help them deal with it. And let them know that in life, sometimes it's a way it's going to be at times. All right, look here. The reason I bring it up is in leaven on you. Because it just takes a little bit of it. Don't take much. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. All right, so look here. You know what you got to do? You got to make sure there ain't no leaven in you. Purge out any hypocrisy. Look, if you say one thing and do another, that's hypocritical. You need to be willing to do a severe, thorough, honest search and remove any hypocritical leaven that's in you. A lot of times, family can see it quicker than anybody else can. Seriously. You know what you need to do? Lay yourself out before the Lord and say, Lord, if there is any leaven of hypocrisy in me, Father, manifest it to me and purge that out. Lord, any way that I'm manifesting hypocrisy, dear Lord, for you, Lord, and your cause, any way that hypocrisy is in my life, Father, make that thing known to me. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 12, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Listen, make sure that, listen, there's not any corrupt doctrine. Amen. Seriously. Make sure you're not off on something. Brethren, look here, honestly. I try to take, and I say, Lord, if I am in error, if I'm missing it somewhere, Lord, show me, manifest it to me. And be willing always to be able to be corrected and taught something. You understand? And the danger comes sometimes, brethren, is listen, a man can sometimes teach something, and when he finally realizes, I'm a little off on that thing. It's too often, if it's going on too long, he's afraid to back up and say, hey, I missed that thing right there. You're done at that point. You understand that? If you can't be corrected, if you get a point, you're like, no, I've stood this way too long. Okay, you're done. You're not advancing beyond that. You are not advancing beyond that point. You have got to be willing to say, well, you know what? I think I was off on that thing. Lord, thank you. Thank you for correcting me. And that means taking it from anywhere it comes from. You know what? I mean, y'all know, look here. You know, Sister Noggle was here for a while. I'm not cutting her down. I'm just telling the truth about it. Just telling what happened. Sister Noggle, bless her heart. And I ain't telling you nothing I didn't tell her. Bless her heart. She had some ideas, son, on Matthew 24 and on Revelation and the church going through. I mean, just wild stuff, right? It was wrong. So me and Sarah sit down with her one time. She wanted to talk. And we sit down and talk about it. And she showed me a chart she had made. Right? And I told her, I ain't telling you, if she was sitting right here, I'd say the right same thing. I said, sister, that's the most confusing thing I've seen in my life. I said, sister, that stuff just ain't right. That stuff ain't right. And she could be a little, I said, sister, and we tried to discuss it and tried to talk about it and tried to go. But now listen to me real good. Don't you listen to me real good. Now we sat down. And Sister Noggle was not disrespectful, not one time. She ain't like that. All right? She wasn't disrespectful, not one time. But here she was. We're sitting here, and she was trying to go over this thing. Now listen, there's a part of me that wants to say, now listen. If you think you as a woman's going to teach me, now listen to me. There's a part of me that wanted to take that kind of, look here. And if she had been disrespectful, now I'd have had to say, sister, you're lying. Stop that now. But listen, before we sit down, I'm going to tell you what I did. I swallowed real hard and I said, Lord, only thing I ever know that's right is what you give me. And Lord, if I'm in error, and if she's got something here I need to see, help me to receive it, Lord, and be corrected. Now, I'm serious. I didn't go into that thing going out. What is she going to? Look, brethren. I know this. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And listen, if you and I can't be corrected, listen, too often, you know what? You've got to be willing to receive truth from any source that God may send it to you from. Amen. You've got to be willing to take truth from any source God may send it to you from. And sometimes he'll send it in a source that in order to receive it, you've got to humble down because humility is big with God. That just is. And he hates pride. And sometimes God may send something some way to where you've got to and the Lord's going to see if you go humble down to receive that thing. I told you before, brethren, some of the richest stuff I've ever got, I've got in the juvenile section of the library. I've gone to the library before and researched something about a lion or researched something about any kind of a leopard or anything like that. And if you go to the adult section, you get a lot of Latin names and a lot of technical stuff that's just dry and nothing. You know, they'll just tell you things that are just, it ain't nothing there. But if you go over to the juvenile section, there's all kind of neat stuff that the Holy Spirit of God is just saying, hey, you know how this applies to you? And just, I mean, all kind of stuff. But you got to be willing to go over there and thumb through them sections. And oh, your flesh may be saying to you, well, everybody will just think you're getting it for your kids. And they might. Till maybe somebody says, oh, you're getting something for your youngins? What are you going to do, lie? No, just do a little research. Well, the adults, yeah, I know it. I know it, but trust me. You ain't going to get this and you ain't going to understand.
But there were some of the rich stuff's right here. A lot of times that's how it goes. Lord just hates pride, brother. All right, now look here. So listen, any wrong doctrine, ask God to search you about it. Anything to be corrected on. Any hypocrisy. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. I got to tell you this because it's funny. I think she's not laughing about it too. She gave me that chart. I thought. Well, she did. She did. And I had that thing, right? I had that thing, and I was like, and I wadded it up and I threw it away. I said, I don't want to see that thing. Right? So she called me up. She called me up. She goes, Pastor Dawson, no, I still had it. I still had it. I think I still had it. I can't remember which one it was. She said, do you still have that chart I gave you? I want to send it to my uncle. I was like, I'll be. I think I threw that thing away. Because I thought she'd give it to me. I said, well, hang on. Well, I went and I did find it. I did find it. So I called her back. I said, sis, did you give me that thing? She said, yes, I did. I gave it to you. I said, okay. I ain't giving it to you. I said, sis, listen. If it's mine and you're going to send it to somebody else, I can't let anybody else get a hold of that thing. I said, from what God shows me, that thing's a confused mess. And I said, sis, I can't help it. I said, I ain't sending it. If it's mine, you ain't getting it. I said, it's mine. I'm going to do what I want with it. I'll throw it away. And she probably took her back a second or two. But she's fine with it. I said, now, if it's yours, I'll send it to you. But if it's mine, it's going to trash. And I said, but she understood. And she got that kind. Well, listen, here's the thing. I wasn't being mean with it. And I think she knows that. She knows I wasn't being mean with her about it. I care. It's just that, look, brethren, come on. I can't allow that thing, if it's mine, to go to somebody else and confuse them and mess their head all up with the kind of thing. If it's mine, I ain't doing that. All right, look here. She's a blessing. Amen. I think she blew my mind. I probably blew her at times too. Amen, that's for sure. All right, look here. 1 Corinthians 5, look at verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. All right, look here. You need to search and make sure there's not any malice and wickedness. Come on now. Search your heart. Search your inside. Is there any malice? Is there attitude? Some bitterness? Something towards someone that's just a burr under your saddle and that thing's in there? Listen, you need to get rid of that thing. You need to purge that thing out quick. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your church. It's going to affect your business. That thing's just going to spread. It don't take much. Any wickedness? Well, preacher, come on. Listen, if there are some places you are going to on the computer that nobody knows about, get it out now. Amen. Purge it out now. Stop it before it comes out. Stop it before it gets worse. Listen, if there are some rooms in your mind that you are secretly going to, thinking nobody knows about it, and there's some little rooms in your mind that you visit that are ungodly, that you wouldn't have nobody know about, but you resort to those rooms, you open those doors, and you go in, and you spend time. Listen, I'm not talking about a thought that just pops in your head. You can't help that. I'm talking about the things you go to and dwell on. You're to bring every thought into captivity. You can't help the thoughts that come in your head. Like Spurgeon said, you can't stop the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. You can't help what pops in. I'm talking about, are there places you're going to? And you kind of secret yourself away and go to those places and they're ungodly and they're wrong. God Almighty knows about it. Get it out. Close that door. Seal it off. Take that room and bar it. Get rid of it. If there's anything there, inside there, nobody else knows about it yet but God. You don't get rid of it. Others are going to know. It'll come out. Take your Bible to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Listen, if there's any of those things there that you know have a foothold in your life, purge them out. With God's help, with His grace, with His strength, purge them out. Get them out. Put that stuff off. Put it off. Now listen, you were not to have any leaven on your person. The Bible says in Exodus 12:15, there was to be no leaven in their houses. Well, got any leaven in the house? Any leaven in the house? I'm not talking about any, you know, I ain't talking about no yeast. You know, it's fine to eat them big old yeast rolls. That's fine, of course. But listen, during that Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to have no leaven seen. You know what I'm talking about. Is there some leaven in your house? Is there something, some things in your house that ought not be there? Reading material, books, things. Listen. I'm talking about something that has absolutely no redeeming value at all to it. Something that takes and can work to produce ungodliness, lustful things. If it's there, get it out. Amen. Amen. It takes just a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. You know, Oliver B. Green said the night he got saved, first thing he did, come home, found that little board in the floor where he could hide things, lifted it up and pulled the liquor and the dirty books out. And there it went. It was there in the house. It was hid away. He's living in his daddy's house at the time. His daddy didn't know about it. Nobody else knew about it. But God and Oliver knew about it. And he got it out. Listen, something there, get it out. Something hid away, get it out. Get the leaven out of the house. Seriously. Look here, folks, be careful. Be careful. It may seem like an innocuous thing. It may seem of no big deal, but it only takes a little leaven. If it's something, look here, I don't know. Man, preacher, I got a poster I was saving from a concert back in 1975. I'd get rid of the thing. Man, it's just paper. That thing can't hurt nothing. I understand that. But you know what? You get a grand youngin', you get something, come on, see that. Whoa. I guess mom and daddy or grandma and grandpa, they kind of maybe used to like, wow. Can't be too bad. They still got it around.
There you go.
I wonder what that was like. And you know what? Once again, the hooks get in. The hooks get in. Got to be, but you've got to be so very careful. Man, I can't. Do you know what that thing's worth? Do you know what you just said? You just said that there is a monetary price on your children or your grandchildren or somebody else's mind being distorted and messed up. That's what you just said. You're keeping it around, no reason at all to, because it might bring you some money or it's worth something. But what's it worth in eternity? Seriously. If there's something there that's never brought you any good, it didn't do you any good, something God saved you out of, but you know, it's a classic that now it has money value to it. It's, now seriously, but really, listen, there's so many ways that thing could go. I couldn't give you all the illustrations of such a thing, but I would ask you to do this. Would you be willing to say, Lord, if there's something in my house that's leavened and could have the potential, dear God, to get bigger, Lord, show it to me and help me to get rid of it. Look here. Leaven was to be not on their person. It was to be not found in their house. Then it mentions their quarters. And it says also in Exodus 1, no leaven to be found in their quarters. You know, quarters can be defined as the area something is split up into. But quarters also, the dictionary is, the place of lodging or temporary residence. Well, preacher, you just said house. Yeah, but I'm talking about your quarters now. I'm talking about your room. You see, listen, look here. Some of you youngins here. The house ain't yours. It's your daddy's. But you're given a room there. And sometimes there's things in the room that nobody knows about. Is it like that? Are there some things in your room that you're hoping don't get found out? You're hoping nobody comes snooping. You've got to hit around. You've got to, are there some things like that? One time I was asked to help somebody move furniture in their house. Now, I only knew the person as an acquaintance. I was just up visiting somebody. I was out of town visiting somebody. And they were helping somebody move and asked me to help move them. I said, sure. So we was helping move. And we came to move the bedroom furniture and removing the bed. We took the mattress off, and there between the mattress and the box springs was pornography. Well, it wasn't someone that I hardly even knew, but somebody was there who saw it, who did know the person, and I think it just about took the breath out of them. It was like a punch to their gut. Live clean. Amen. Living clean can't save you. It takes the blood of Christ to save you, but living clean can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. And let me tell you something. You ain't going to be good enough to cover your tracks everywhere. You ain't going to be good enough to cover your back. Best thing is just not have anything to do with it. You ain't got to duck and dodge and try to hide and cover your tracks and try to make sure. It's just best. Just live clean. Don't worry about it. How about your room? How about your quarters? How about your office? How about your cubicle? How about whatever time is allotted to you on your, how about your website, your whatever like that? Is there anything there? Anything there? Well, it said your house, it said your person, it said your quarters. Then it says, we read here in Deuteronomy 16, there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee in all thy coast. Remember the coast? A coast is defined as in the dictionary. It's the exterior line, limit, or border of a country. What do you mean? But also, I mean your coasts. Well, those are the places and situations that lie within the limits of your sphere of responsibility and accountability. Your person, you got your person, you got your home, you got your quarters, but you know what? Also, that means anything that lies under the umbrella of your responsibility, your accountability. Is there any leaven there? You can't do nothing about things that are outside of your coast, if you will. Somebody that's not under your jurisdiction, not under your authority, not under your management. Be that thing, listen, at home, on the job, whatever. Listen, if there's leaven in your coast, anything lying under your accountability, your responsibility, get it out. Get it out. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Man, cousin Bill's coming to stay. All right? Cousin Bill's coming to stay. That he's putting himself in your home, in your coast, under your accountability, your responsibility. You might have to tell Cousin Bill, Bill ain't coming in the house. I ain't coming in. What? We're kin. Well, yeah, sure are. But they ain't coming in. Ain't coming in. And if you see it, you get it out. You tell them, got to get out. See, it gets out or you get out. I can't believe we're family. You call it, son, you cause me to choose. No, sir, don't you put that mess on me. Don't you try to go put that, like I'm the bad person. We're family. No, sir, you know how we stand. You know how we feel. And you're trying to bring that in. You're trying to make me choose. No, sir, you're not doing that to me. Now, you're the ones making that. You know, you're not being respectful of what you know this family stands for and what we're about. And if you didn't know, now you know. And your attitude ought to be, well, hey, I don't want to do anything defensive to you. Do you realize if somebody really cared about you, they wouldn't do that to you? You understand that, right? Listen, if I come to your house, And there's something that's offensive to you, or you're in your house, and you tell me, I'm thankful you did. I hope I would love you enough to say, brother, thank you. I wouldn't want to offend you. Brother, we won't do that. No, sir. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you for letting me know. I'm not pulling an attitude like that. That's like him, folks, your relatives will come in and they say, don't smoke. And they'll go, I'm going to smoke. So no, you're not. You're going to get out. What? What? Let me tell you something. They try to make you the bad guy. No, sir, bud. If they respected you, they wouldn't pull that stuff out in the house. I had relatives. I had an aunt that had emphysema. And did you know some of the relatives would smoke around her? And get an attitude. Listen, no, you got a problem, bud. Somebody got emphysema, got a breathing problem. You're going to smoke around them. What's wrong with you? Where's your head at? You don't care about it. You care about yourself. But if somebody cares, you want to be respectful of those that you have put yourself under their authority, their accountability. Listen to me. Those places, situations, and people that lie within the limits of your sphere of responsibility and accountability, get the leaven out. Well, why, preacher? Great day. It ain't a big thing. I mean, what's it hurting? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot, sir. I forgot, ma'am. I forgot how much you read your Bible every day. You stay close to God so much during the year that, I mean, you're always at your strongest, right? Come on now. Would God that it were so. But you know what? Sometimes we're not spiritually as strong as we ought to be. And it's at that weak moment the devil's going to make his move with that little bit of leaven or something that's there. Get it out. Get it out. And if a person's got a problem, you need to understand, you need to open your eyes and realize they're the ones that don't care about you. If they did, they would be respectful. Look here. Of your person, of your house, of your quarters, of your coast. All right. But look at the other thing. Go to Deuteronomy 16. Look here. Real quick. And look at verse 4. There shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even, which would be the Passover offering, remain all night until the morning. Wow. Did you get that? When you sacrificed that Passover offering, it was to be eaten that night. None of it was allowed to remain until the morning. The Passover was not to be kept up. Listen, it wasn't to be kept for later. It was to be eaten that night or burnt with fire. You couldn't just partake of it at your pleasure. It was to be eaten that night. In the morning, the opportunity would be gone. Go to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Verse 10. Ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. The Lord said, Deuteronomy 16:4, neither shall there anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night until the morning. You couldn't keep it and at your pleasure partake of it when you wanted to. It was to be eaten that night. What wasn't eaten was to be burnt with fire, and it wouldn't be there to be partaken of. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Look, don't delay. You may be in a home or church with the blood on the door, but you haven't partaken of the Passover. If you wait, it'll be too late. If
If you die or the Lord returns, it'll be too late. Receive Christ Jesus, the Passover Lamb, while there's time. You know, I do know that a mixed multitude went up out of Egypt. The Bible shows us that a mixed multitude went out. There were some Egyptians that left out too. Now, and that crowd, that mixed crowd there, the Egyptians, that mixed multitude, later on they fell a-lusting. And they got the children of Israel a-lusting. Because see, listen, those Egyptians were Egyptians, all right? And they started lusting after the things of Egypt, and they got Israel lusting after it too, because Israel did, even though they're the people of God, they knew what those leeks and those onions, they knew what that stuff tasted like. You see, listen, that mixed multitude came out. That means that there's a group that came out that had been through the blood, water, but not the blood. You see, your Bible says that there was not one house, read your Bible in Exodus, not one house in Egypt where there wasn't one that died. In every house in Egypt, death hit. Now, your Bible says that. Every house in Egypt. Which means there was no blood on the door. So they came. But this mixed multitude comes out with Israel. They go through the waters of the Red Sea. They go out as a part of the congregation. They're members of the congregation. They've gone through the waters, if you will. The water didn't touch them. They went through the waters of the Red Sea. They're part of the congregation. But they've never been through the blood of the Lamb. And they start lusting after that stuff. Israel came out by the blood of the Lamb. But if you will, they're like a believer. We're saved, but we still have flesh, and our flesh knows what some things taste like. You know what happens when you get unregenerated people in church, and only God can figure that stuff out. You got to leave that stuff to God. You remember? You got to leave that stuff to God. He's got to be the one to take care of that. But what happens is, those unregenerate will start lusting after, because they, listen, they'll start lusting after what they really are. They're of the world, and they'll start lusting after it. Problem is, as a believer, you still got flesh, and you know what that tastes like. And they can get you to lusting after the same thing. All right? I want to say just a couple things to you. Make sure that you've not just become a member of a church, been baptized, going along as a member, but you've never been through the blood of the Lamb. You've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Make sure that's not the case. I'm afraid it's the case greatly and much across this land. I'm afraid it is. All right? And a lot of excuses get made for people. Well, they just this. Well, they... In too many cases, they've never been born again. Now, folks, look here. When I got saved, God did something in me that only He could do. And there was a chain. I still got flesh, but I'll be. There was a part of me that supernaturally now was imparted to me and wanted the things of God and didn't want them before. God did that. And I'll tell you that, but look here. See, that thing gets confusing at times, because what happens is, see, that mixed multitude, they have Egypt blood. They didn't come out with the blood of the Lamb. All they part of the congregation, they're part of the membership, if you will, that they come through. But they're Egypt, man. And they start wanting Egypt. But the believer, you see. See, the children of Israel, they know what Egypt tastes like. They tasted that stuff before. It got them to want it too. See, a lot of times you'll have folks that's never been born again. They are of the world, and that's what they desire. But since the believer still has flesh, they get even the believer wanting that stuff. That's like that crowd where the tares were sowed among the wheat. You know what I'm saying? And they said, well, you want us to pull them up? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Because you'll pull up the good too. You can't. They're all intertwined there. You make a mess of it. It'll get took care of. I mean, listen, unless somebody tells you that what they're trusting to grant them righteousness and get them to heaven, unless they tell you what they're trusting for salvation doesn't line up with the book, you got to take them at their profession. I mean, if they tell you they're trusting their baptism, well, you got something to go on. But I'll be, if their profession's right, you got to trust that profession. But I'll tell you what you can do. The Bible says, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yep. Amen.
You say you're a child of God, act like it.
Amen.
You can pull somebody aside and say, brother, I love you. And you say you're a child of God.
That book says, if you name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. You knock that stuff off. What are you doing? They might get mad, but you're showing true love to do that. And hopefully help them determine where they're at. Honestly, brethren, I'm afraid we've got a rash, a mess of this that goes on today. No Abraham. You just see examples of this all in the Bible. Abraham, you know, God promised him a son, but it didn't happen yet. And so Sarah said, look here, you take Hagar, my maid, you go in into her, and that'll be our young'un. And he didn't pray about it, and God didn't tell him to do it, and he got wore down with it, and nothing had happened yet. He'd been there for a while, and he says, all right. And so he goes into Hagar. She's, you know, Hagar there, type of the world, Egyptian, and goes in there, you know, and has a child by her, and there's Ishmael. But there's a big problem. Sarah can't feed him. She can't feed him. She can't nurse that boy. Can't give him nothing. Hagar's the one that birthed him. Hagar's got to feed him. But later on, because God had made a promise and God's going to do it his way, Sarah has a child. But this is a child of promise. This is a child that's a product of God's miraculous power. I mean, Ishmael was just a matter of, okay, a man goes into a woman. And with Sarah, yeah, Abraham goes into her, but listen, she's past the foul barren. This is a child of promise, a child of miracle. And you know what? She's going to be able to feed him. You know why, brethren? So many people, let me tell you something. If you can't handle those hymns, if you can't handle that Bible, if it takes excitement, if it takes worldly things to keep you, then that world's what birthed you and the Spirit of God didn't. Now, I'm going to tell you why it's too. Now, she's always to it. Brethren, look here. When I got saved and the Spirit of Almighty God, the one that inspired that book, abode within me, I was able to understand that book. I wanted that book, and I wanted the things of God. Oh, I got flesh. Sure, it appeals. It appeals the flesh, but there's someone inside of me who says, no. This is what you need. This is what feeds you. This is what's right. This is what's good. The church, listen, the church can feed them that it produces. And you know what I mean. Listen, those that are produced by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the things that are of truth can feed them. But if the world sired them, it's going to take the world to feed them. Just like with Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac and Sarah. All right, but I want to bring one other thing here to you real quick. You know, some may have gone along, again, come through the waters, but never eating that Passover lamb. Now, again, listen. Hang on a minute. They came through the blood of the lamb, and the Passover was there. You could partake of it. If you didn't, then it had to be burnt. I'm just trying to make a point here. All I'm doing is make a point. Many come up in a godly home. They go along with others. They get baptized, but have yet never personally partaken of the Passover lamb. They've never personally received the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen. A home where the blood's on the door, a church where the blood's on the door, where the Lord Jesus Christ is preached and put forth, but yet you have never personally received Him. Listen, come out, they go along. I mean, brethren, it happens all over the place today. Just kind of, you know, been baptized, joined the church, go along with everything. But have you ever personally partaken of the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, yourself? And if you haven't, why haven't you? What good reason would there be? Richard, I don't know. Well, you need to know. You need to know. You know, if that Passover lamb was not partaken of that night, it was burnt. It was burnt. Couldn't partake of it the next day. It was done. If you didn't partake of it that night, then the Bible says the remainder of it was burnt. The remainder of it was burnt. What I'm saying is you cannot take and be like, you know what, preacher? Don't you worry about me. Don't worry about me. I will one day. I will one day. I got, you know, don't worry. It ain't like I don't believe in God. It ain't like I know them things. I'm just not ready. So what you're saying is, God, when I'm ready. You just hold on, and I'll see about us hooking up. You're a fool. You're a fool because the message you were sending to the precious Almighty God is this. You work on my time. You are sending a message to God that you work on my time. Sir, ma'am, child, you're a fool.
Yes, sir.
That's not how it works. You'll take and play the Lord like that.
Yes,
you'll take and go and say, well, I'm just going to, you know, but I don't someday. Well, Proverbs chapter 1. The Lord says, they'll call on here. For that they hated knowledge and not choose the fear of the Lord. Listen. The plans you've got, it was the mercy of God. I mean, again, I mentioned this all. That was Jimmy's testimony. That's just the mercy of God. The mercy of God right there. Youngins, anybody here, anybody listening on recording, what I'm telling you is, listen, if you and your mind have it all set together of what you're going to do, you're going to do what you want. And you know what? And you know what? Before you pull out of here, you'll call upon him. God ain't looking for your lips. He's looking for your heart.
Amen.
He's looking for, from Genesis to Revelation, in any dispensation that's set up, it's always had to do with a man's heart.
Amen.
Where that heart's at. And God's not looking for your lips. That's a problem. He's got too many people's lips today. He's never got their heart. And they've been made twofold more child of hell than they were before. That's the truth. And you see it all over the place. Besides the prisons. Juvenile centers. Every one of them's made all kinds of professions. Don't a bit more know the Lord. As confused and all to get out. But you know what? Somebody's got them somewhere to pray something sometime. They God got their lips. He never got their heart. Y'all look here. I challenge you. You look at that book. Not what anybody told you. Look at that book. And you look and see how the Lord and Paul. You look how men were dealt with. Can you imagine? You better listen because we got a hellacious mess going on today.
Amen.
Can you imagine? There's Paul. There he says. Agrippa said. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Matt, can I ask you something? Why did Paul not say, almost? Let's just pray right now. Bow your head. And that's not how it works. You get people's lips, but not the heart. And honey, that means sadly, most folks don't want it. We hate that, but that's the way it is. And countless people have made false professions, trying to convince themselves something ain't never happened that didn't happen. The Bible speaks of a witness of the Holy Ghost bearing witness with your spirit that you are a child of God.
Amen.
And you can't fake that.
No,
why didn't Paul go, well, Agrippa, just come on, let's pray. Let's pray right now. Pray. Now, dear Lord Jesus, he didn't do it. Why didn't he? Bad soul winner? You better back up. He knew that all you can do is put the truth out, son. You put the truth out and then you pray for him and then it's up to that individual.
Amen.
And if you're not careful, you overstep those bounds. You'll do like the Pharisees. You'll try to make a proselyte out of them. You'll make them twofold more child of hell than they were. And it's worse because now you got to work through them thinking there's something they're not. Because there's a lack of patience today. Nobody can be still enough to let God work. You sow that word. I believe in doing everything you can to get the gospel to somebody. And then you better let God work, and it's up to them if they want it. You didn't go to somebody when they sinned and said, okay, you showed them where the temple was, where the tabernacle was. You let them know what they need to do, how to bring the sacrifice. But nobody was taken. All right, come here, let me take you by the hand. All right, you bring this lamb. Come on, let's take you, and we'll get. You didn't do that. You just told how to. You just told what you need to do. It's up to you, bud. It's up to you. A mess. You see Paul out there with that crowd when he was preaching, and the Bible says that they Paul talked to him, you know, and they wanted to hear some more of that. He persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Brethren, that crowd didn't get saved about a couple weeks later. Read there in Acts. Paul didn't go and say, All right now, all you got to do right now is just why? How come you never see anyone operating in soul winning in the Bible like you're told today it's supposed to be done? You don't see it. You don't see it. I challenge you. Show me. You do not see it.
But yet it's done all over the place. Brethren, better chuck it. And you better operate God's way. There's a part that God does. There's a part that He wants us to do. And you better not cross that line. You put that word out. You answer any questions anybody's got. You pray with them for understanding. But then it's between that individual and God. I don't know. There may be somebody here listening on recording. I hope not. But there may be someone. God got your lips, but He never got your heart. It's what He wants. And this idea of like, well, you know what? I know how this thing works. And before I die, I'll pray. Honey, you might, but that don't mean God's going to hear you. Because He's looking for that heart, not just your lips. That book says the Lord's nigh to all that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him. In truth. The Bible mentions in Acts that you obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine delivered you. Well, Deuteronomy 16. They were to get the leaven out. The Passover sacrifice. It wasn't to remain all night until the morning. If anything were left, it had to be burnt. Had to be taken that night. I want to ask you. Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal blood sacrifice for sin? Have you? Do you know in your mind when that took place? And not just something in the past. Do you have inside of you a bearing of witness of the Holy Ghost, as it says in Romans 8, that you are child of God? His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. Do you have that? If you do, well, the feast is to be kept with unleavened bread. Leaven needs to be put out of from your person, your house, your quarters, your coats. If there's any leaven there, get it out of the way. And be willing to honestly allow God to search you, show you any that's there, and by the grace of God, be willing to remove it, get it out of the way. Let's pray. Father, Lord, please help us. Father, I pray, dear precious Lord, if there's anyone here or listening on the recording that's never received Jesus Christ personally, Lord, that's never responded to the wooing of the Holy Ghost of God, that's never manifested, Lord, Paul said he preached repentance toward you, Lord, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there's nobody that's ever here or listening or recording that's never manifested repentance towards you and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray they'd be willing to do so while they have time and opportunity. And Father, for any believer that, Lord, has some leaven that they know about but are refusing to deal with it, Lord, help us to remember and to know that it only takes a little before the whole lump gets leavened. And Lord, we don't want our marriages, our homes, our churches to be leavened. Father, search us, try us, know us, purge us, and cleanse us. And may we be yielded and obedient unto Thee. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. Folks, look here. I'm going to let you go with that. I'm going to let you go, but listen now. Listen. I pray that you take, and if God spoke to your heart about something today, you take the measures that are needed. If you got saved, God gave you the ability to ruminate. You can chew the cud. You know what? Anything you got today that God showed you, pull off somewhere and chew that cud. Chew that cud and think about it. And take whatever measures the Lord would direct and how He'd work in your life about anything that God spoke to your heart about today.